Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Some of you may know that, but the origin of hospitals and medical care goes back to monasteries and nunneries. Especially during the times of the pilgrimages of the Middle Ages, there were no people really practicing medicine as we know it. And travelers were becoming more frequent. And so when they needed to go to a place if they were injured or ill, they looked for a cross. Since we have crosses on our hospitals and on our first aid wagons and all that kind of thing. Because those were places that were hospitable. Hence the word hospital in English. One of those places in the 15th century was the Order of the Star of Bethlehem. The nuns there found a very special niche in London to care for people who had been abandoned by the rest of society. For in those days, people who had what we now call mental illness were treated as scum of the earth, as though they were possessed by demons, not applicable to normal society, not allowed in normal places. And so they would wander the streets, often without any education or training. And the nuns would bring them in and try to provide some sort of care. Not knowing medicine, there was not much they knew to do. And these people, having not had any care, very little education, quickly shortened Bethlehem to Bedlam. And Bedlam ever since has stood for chaotic, crazy, non-things that do not make sense. From Bethlehem to Bedlam. That pretty well describes this week in the church year, doesn't it? You know? You go from silent night, all is holy, all is bright, how still we see thee lie in Bethlehem, to bam! We discover Stephen, martyr, for speaking the truth to the people. John, whom they tried to poison. And then the next day, the grievous sin of all, Herod killing all the children, male children under age 12 in Bethlehem because he was afraid of his coming Messiah. Genocide, persecution, violence. From Bethlehem to Bedlam, from still silence of Christmas Eve to all craziness, Bedlam breaking out. Is that any way to run a church year or a Christmas season? I say yes. And I think there's some important lessons we can learn from this. And this is an ancient practice. This goes back at least 1,200 years or more, setting up this week in the church year. It's a way old time. I think the first thing it reminds us of is reality. One thing I do like about the Bible, the more I study it, which continues to grow and still learn things, is how realistic the Bible is about things. It's not fairy tales or sugarcoating or trying to paint a good side on things. Things happen. Bad things happen to good people. Things happen when they least expect it, you know? As I mentioned Friday night, for those of you who are here, almost every event in the Bible, and particularly in Jesus' life, happens in darkness. Birth, death, resurrection, you know? As a reminder to us that we like those moments. And get me, there's nothing wrong with having a nice, peaceful Christmas Eve. You know, that Christmas time. But it reminds us that we don't get to stay in the quietness. And on the Tuesday night's message, which you won't get because we won't meet then, you would hear about how the Holy Family has to flee Bethlehem and goes on the road. And becomes undocumented aliens sneaking into Egypt to escape persecution and violence against the family. The Bible is realistic about the fact that, yes, we have those moments and we should cherish them of quiet and peace, but they're more like a pit stop than anything else. You know, in a race car, where you come in, you get fueled up, and you go back out on the track. Well, the purpose is not to stay in the pit stop. I'm not much on NASCAR. I know a little bit about it. But I know that much. The trick is not to stay in the pit any longer than possible. It's to get what you need to be able to exist on the racetrack. So, too, we need to both cherish the times that we have peace and quiet and calm, but to also never think we can get too comfortable in them. Because life in this world never allows it. And that's always been true. Probably pretty easy the last couple of years to see that for all of us amidst all the craziness that we've been living in. But it's really been true forever. It was true in the Old Testament times. It was true in the time Jesus came. It's been true for the church. That those moments are fleeting and few. Enjoy them, cherish them, but be prepared for the reality. Because you see, the message we have to offer is not very acceptable in society. We talk about forgiveness, grace, God's love. Even in the Bible, did you notice the progression? In the Old Testament, they cried out for vengeance. Jesus prayed for his enemies, and Stephen models that same prayer in his. That's not a message that you're going to get you a lot of favorable looks and returns from in our society. Our society loves the vengeance, loves to get even, loves to make power against power. We are called to be a visible rebellion against that by daring to believe in God's mercy and grace in the midst of a world of bedlam, and be willing to be different enough to forgive our enemies and care for those who persecute us, as hard as that is for all of us. And to not expect to be accepted well. The church at its best was at its worst times to be around. You know, if you study church history, the worst times were the times the church flourished because it offered a message of hope that was different than what people get bombarded with. And especially in our day and age of social media and constant bombardment, we also have constant news, so we have blessing and curse there. It's important. I think that we pull back, occasionally turn those phones off, let that Facebook rest, enjoy moments of peace and quiet, but not as an escape, but to be prepared to go back out into that world of bedlam. I think it also reminds us that bedlam is not necessarily such a terrible place to be, though we humans tend to like to have comfort and knowledge and program. We like to kind of know where everything's going to be and when it's going to happen. All the good things that really happen to us come in the midst of bedlam. From childbirth to weddings to everything else, they're all full of bedlam. Maybe, just maybe, this scripture message will help us to, if we don't embrace bedlam, at least not fear it so much. That it is a part of the changes and the things that God is doing in the world. If we truly take seriously what Jesus says in the book of Revelation, "Behold, I make all things new," then we should expect a lot of bedlam in life. Now, our society has that built in this week. We have New Year's Eve. And while I'm not advocating, please don't misquote me, debauchery and craziness, a little bit of bedlam is not necessarily bad for any of us, you know? A little bit of kind of just letting in, giving in a little bit to the fact that things won't make sense. They don't happen the way they're supposed to. People don't treat each other the way they're supposed to. A little bit of that is a helpful reminder to us. Because you see, like Stephen, we're called to be different. We are called to be visible witnesses to Christ. Not that we're perfect, because if you notice in the stories, like the psalm and all, the more we brag about ourselves, the more we get in trouble. You know? And Stephen could have fallen into that trap. He kind of got a little boastful, I think, with the chief priests and all that stuff. He kind of egged them on a little bit. But he could have said, "I know better than you. I'm better than you are. And you people are just, you know, doomed to, you know, hell in a handbasket kind of attitude." But Scripture asks us to see in the bedlam in others, the bedlam in our own lives, the bedlam that is the possibility that God is doing something new and things are confusing and things don't make sense because the old is transforming. Not abandoned, but being transformed slowly, surely, in life. So I don't know what your week holds in front of you. I hope it's not as dramatic as the church year week is. But I hope that it helps us to both pause and relax those moments of peace and quiet, those silent nights, as far as they are and as few as they may be, but to remind us that, like the Holy Family, we don't get to stay in the silent streets of Bethlehem, because the silent streets of Bethlehem turn to bedlam, and the world of bedlam needs to hear the good news of forgiveness and grace. So too, like the people did before, we will go from Bethlehem to Bedlam, but we will go with God's guidance and love and mercy. Amen.
Amen.